Some of us had just a huge blessed year. Some of it's been a mix, but regardless, God is worthy of our praise, right? And so we're going to take this moment and we're going to give thanks to God for all that He's done for us and all that He's done for us as an individual and all that He's done for us as a church and our ministries. And it just seems like this church grows. Sometimes it's physical, and sometimes it's spiritual, and sometimes it's both. And it just seems like we've grown a lot spiritually this year, and even physically. So what I want to do then is just, let's just go ahead and stand here, and we're going to pray. And I want to give you a moment to just give a moment of just kind of like silence there, and then I'll just pray. So you can thank the Lord right now for what you want to thank Him for, and then I'll pray. Father, You've been so good to us. Even in our hard times and our happy times, Lord, You've always been there. We thank You for Your presence, that You're always with us. And we thank You for all that You have done for us throughout this last year and beyond, what You're even doing today and what You have planned for in the future. But we thank You for this last year. We thank You for what You've given to us in the sense of those things that we needed, and even, Lord, blessed us in some things, of sometimes the wants. And, Lord, You've opened doors for some, even though it's been fearful to walk through. I'm sure we even thank You for those days. And even when it was hard, we thank You even for those days. For that's when our faith grows. We thank You again for You allowing us to be a part of Your family. Continue to bless us and continue to draw us to Yourself, that we may always thank You as we should. And praise be Your name above all names. It's in Jesus Christ, Your Son, that we pray, for our salvation is embedded for eternity. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I know this sounds weird, but Carla, is my collar standing up? I know that. See, if I asked you, you wouldn't have said it, but she will tell me straight out. Get that fixed. Well, I heard the verse that I heard some of the things that Phil was saying there, and we did some things. We praised God and we thanked God, and there's a part of also in Thanksgiving that we don't talk a lot about, and that is the importance of repentance. I want to talk to you today about repenting. I want to talk to you, when you talk about repenting, then you got to talk about sin, but that's what we're going to talk about. Because there's something that happens, when there's something between us as human beings. We have this thing called a wedge, this wedge sin. It's a wall, it's a wedge between us and the Lord. And Scripture says in Romans 3:23, for all have fallen short. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. I met one man who said he never sinned. Well, that's a lie. Everyone sins. Everyone sins. The difference is, do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, or are you on your own? And you need Christ in your life to atone for your sins. I think I need to share a piece with you here about what sin really is. Sin is really doing something that's against God. It's an act against God. Okay, it's missing the mark. Okay, but sin kind of gets... I got some words here I want to share with you, because we read these scriptures and sometimes we throw them all in the same bucket, yet they are in the same bucket, but they have some different meanings. Scripture tells us in Matthew that forgive us of our trespasses as those who forgive trespass against us. Jesus teaches us that in the model prayer. But trespasses is crossing the line whether you do it on it's crossing the line whether you do it on purpose or unintentional. If you've ever been a hunter, you can hunt. And sometimes you don't know. If you get into the deep woods, you don't know if you're on someone else's property or not. And if you shoot a deer and it's not on your property, whether you knew or not, you are across the line. You are across on somebody else's property line. You see, we do that sometimes even in our walk. We don't always intentionally do it. We unintentionally do it, but we cross the line. Crossing the line kind of means falling away. Some of us have fallen away a little bit from Jesus in our walk. Even though we can be thankful today, but we may not be thankful that in ourselves that our life is not where it was with Christ. We have drifted away. We have trespasses in our life. But not only trespasses, I want to also tell you, sometimes I've heard people say, well, I don't have anything I need to be forgiven of. I do want to share a scripture for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, if my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent, it is the Lord who judges me. Basically, he's saying, if my conscience is clear, I'm not going to judge my own conscience. I'm going to let God judge that. So sometimes I may think I'm in the right. I have nothing to seek forgiveness from or seek repent from. But you know what? That's where you need to be talking to the Lord about. Because we're easier on ourselves than we are on others. We judge lightly on ourselves, but we judge others much harder. But not only is there the word trespasses, but there's also transgressions. Our transgressions is when we choose to sin on purpose. We go and we live with someone. We allow someone to live with us. That is, you chose to do that. That's a transgression, which is a sin. A transgression is something you choose. It's a sin you choose to do purposely. And we have all done that. But then there is the iniquity. The iniquities that we have is where we continue to live in the sin without repenting. That's where we continue to live in the sin. We know it's wrong, but we don't stop it. We don't quit. We don't go back. We just keep living in the sin. All of that is sinful. All of that is sinful. I want to read a section about how sin really works. And I can find no other really way it explains better than going back to Genesis chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 3. I'm in the Holman version. The Holman version. And I want to pick it up in verse 1. I'm going to go through 11. It says, now the serpent was the most cunning of all wild animals that the Lord God had made. First of all, you need to believe that there is a God. Or this is not going to make any sense to you. You need to believe that there is a God. And I think God showed himself that in the book of Genesis. Don't you? You know where God is. You know where man is in the book of Genesis. And he said to the woman, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it, or you will die. No, you will not die, the serpent said to the woman. In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden all at the time of the evening breeze. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord God called out to man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Then he asked, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Listen, you preachers that are sitting out there know that there's several messages and it's just what I had read. But I want to stick on what on purpose I feel like the Lord is leading me into and to focusing on. What we find here is sin does some serious damage to the individual that commits the sin. The world will tell you, live as you want, do your own thing, but we're not going to talk about the world today. We're talking about if you're a believer, God has called us to live the way He wants us to live, not the way the world wants us to live. But we live in this world and we get caught up into things. And our emotions get high. And our spirit wants to be strong in the Lord. And we have this battle inside of us. But she looks so good. But he looks so nice. And they'll leave me if I don't do this. I want to be liked. My friends are doing this. But the church didn't do this for me, so I'm mad at the church. But my friends are telling me, hey, I can come back with them. And so we find ourselves doing things that we said we would never do again. And we find ourselves committing a sin before God. I want to share some things of what sin does. And you'll see that in this story a little bit. Sin makes us feel guilty with a heavy heart. When we sin, it gives us a heavy heart. If we are a believer in Christ and we truly have the Holy Spirit, it cannot help but us to feel guilty about what we've done. You can read this in Psalms 51, Psalms 32. You can see how David springs. It talks about the weight of the guilt of the sin. Sin makes you feel guilty, but be careful. You keep living with your iniquities, your heart becomes hard. And become hard. Sin also causes us to hide from God. We want to hide from God. Now we can mask it any way we want. But sin causes us to hide from God. God comes in the garden. Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Scripture says he went off and he hid from God. That's what we do when we sin. When children do bad things, they hide from their parents. We as adults, we sin and we try to cover it up. We try to become intellectual about it, and we start to self-justify it. We come up with reasons why we are allowed to do it. And then we start second guessing God's word. And then we totally kind of slide away. Listen, a lot of the people that don't come to this church anymore, guess what they're doing today? They're living in their sin, trespasses, transgressions, and they're living in iniquities. It's not this church, just this church. It's all over the place. Let me just take a side note. The vows you make to your wife, the vows you make to your husband, you set them before God. Keep them. Keep them. Now, I know some of you say, oh, I broke this one, I broke that one. Hold on a second, we're going to get there. Sin drives a wedge between us and God. It just does. Sin drives a wedge between us and God. Now, us as believers, we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, and we have this sin. We know what it is. When we sin, nothing is going to work until we get that right. We're going to talk about how to get that right. But when we sin, it brings a wedge against us and God. I want to also remind you here that sin hurts other people. Your sin sometimes affects and hurts other people, especially parents. Your children or however, it doesn't matter when they're 8 or 9 and they did something wrong, sinful, or they did something when they're 35 or 40. It still hurts the whole family. Sin also hurts the family of God. Sin hurts not just you, but it hurts other people. It just does. Sin weakens your testimony before God. It does. Sin weakens your testimony before God in your Christian walk, doesn't it? Oh, yes, it does. It does. One of the things that... Now, come on now. Y'all know this one now. This one's a big one. You did something. You know it's a sin. But you're not dealing with it yet with the Lord. But you got it, but you're dragging it with you everywhere you go. It's the weight. And then you come into a church service, and they're singing that song that you really like, but you can't get into it. You're hearing a message and it's not penetrating, but it starts to penetrate, but you push back on it. You start building quick walls because now it's starting to affect you, and you push back on it. So what I want to say is that sin begins to steal your worship. It destroys your worship. It steals your worship and your praise. And you just can't sing. You just can't praise God. You don't really want to read the Bible because your sin is blocking you from wanting to even want to read the Bible. And those are all good things. Praying is good. Testimonies are good. Worship, prayer, and praising God are all good. It's there, but there's that one thing that needs to be done before you can do that and make it right and make it worthy. Another thing sin does, it desires more. It's never full. It's never full. How many of you this Thanksgiving ate and said, "Man, I'm full"? And somebody said, "Oh, I'm over full. I'm done." And then I'm done, and they're still eating, right? That's what sin does. It says, "I'm never done." Sin wants you to do more. Darkness wants you to do more. And sin, when you live in sin, it does cause you to sin more. It does, by our own temptations, our own heart's desires. A big one is sin keeps us from talking about Jesus. We don't talk about Jesus anymore. We start slying away. We start stepping out of the church. Biblical things, we don't want to talk about those. Now, sin in my life, I don't want to talk about those things. Because if you know that you're a believer today, you know what the Holy Spirit conviction is, don't you? You know, you should know what the conviction of the Holy Spirit feels like. You should know what that feels like. If you don't, you need to make sure you have the Lord Jesus Christ, because every one of us sin, and we all had to have that conviction of the Holy Spirit that turns us and prods us and pushes us and convicts us and saying, "Hey, don't do that. You just did something you shouldn't have done." And the weight comes on us. And sin also keeps us away from the church. Listen, you can't be close to the Lord and only come to church on Christmas and Easter. I love all the people that do, but you can't do that. You can't do that. I can just go in and just hear my one message of the year and I'll be done. No. So what do we do when we have this thing we call sin? What do we do when we sin before God? We tell a lie or we trespass. We stepped over the line and we started to begin to fall away. We're leaning away from the Lord. We sin on purpose. We got sin in our life. We're living in iniquities. We got a lot going on here. What do we do? Well, we need to do something called repent. It's called repentance. Repent. Okay? So we need to repent with all of our heart, not just with our mouth. Now, let me tell you, you can talk to me and you can fool me or I can fool you. But there's one you will never fool. Because God knows your heart, your mind, and your soul. He knows when you mean it, when you repent, or when you're just thinking he's a drive-through. "Lord Jesus, forgive me all my sins. Help me to be a good man." And go on. When we repent, we need to do something. We can do a couple of things. I want you to think about this when you are repenting before the Lord. You need to confess your sins. You need to confess. You need to confess to Jesus. You may go to someone and ask for forgiveness, your wife or your spouse, or you may go to dad or mom and say, "Mom, I'm sorry, I jumped on you, I shouldn't have yelled at you," whatever, because the Bible says we are to love our mother and father, obey our parents. And that doesn't go away when you get adult. Doesn't mean jump in their sin, okay? But we are still respected. But we are... Doesn't mean we may need to go to people and confess and apologize to them. But if we don't do it with the Lord, it's still there. It's still there. So we need to confess. Number one, we need to confess. Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. If you confess. So confessing is the real deal. It's the beginning. But also when you confess and you do that, there's a turnaround part. There's a turnaround part that we just don't confess and go back and do it again. We confess and we turn and we go back to Jesus. Sometimes you need to drop a relationship. It's the hardest thing. Sometimes you need to drop a job that causes you to do something that's illegal. It was started as a great business, and they slid some things in there, and it becomes a do, and more, and you're part of that, and you know it's not, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, you know you're in the wrong place, but I get paid $20 an hour. You know you're moving more than what you think you move. Listen, I worked at a place, I didn't know it. I was 18 years old. I looked at a place, my sister-in-law got me this job. I'm cutting these things, these metal things. It was for GM, and that's what we do. And I kept seeing these beautiful women walking in. I'm 18. I see these beautiful women walking in. Next thing I know, the whole place shut down, and it was a prostitution ring. Now, I didn't know that's what it was, but I bet there were some people that did. I was 18. I don't know what was going on. And then people in management were getting arrested in the news. I didn't know what was going on. But some people did. Sometimes there's jobs that we need to leave. Sometimes there's a relationship that we need to leave. We need to turn around and we need to go back to Jesus. The reason you don't have the excitement that you had with Jesus before is because you are not with Him. So we confess, we turn away from it, but then we have to do one more thing. What I feel we have to do one more thing is we need to talk to Jesus and ask Jesus for help. Lord, help me not to do and return what I just did. Help me, give me the courage and strength to walk away. Give me the courage and strength. Take the love away that I have for this or for that person or that thing. Take it. Fill that empty void now with yourself. Let me, Lord, give me the love for you much more than what I had for this or that person. Let me just tell you, people drag people to hell every day. Now, it's still on their own choice, but because people fall in love and they're lost and they know and they've heard the gospel and they know that they've heard it, but they refuse it. Listen, groups go to hell. Salvation is only in one name, that is Jesus Christ. So when we sin, we need to repent. We need to confess our sins. We need to turn around, walk away from it. And then we need to ask Jesus to strengthen us and encourage us and to give us courage to walk away from it and go on and run to Jesus. Now what happens when that happens? What happens when that happens? If we do it with all of our heart, mind, and soul, Scripture says that He forgives us. Amen. How many of you have been on this trail before? I know I have. We are forgiven of our sins, trespasses, transgressions, and iniquities. When we come to Jesus and we confess it, He forgives us of all of them. He knows you're a human. He knows you're a handful. He knows you're a process in work. When we repent, it frees us. It frees us from the guilt. It just frees us from the guilt. I'm not saying this has to happen to you, but have you ever been before the Lord and you have broke down before the Lord for the life that you were living? I know I have. Did some shameful things, sinful things. And I want to tell you, as much as I was confessing, as much as I needed to do that, I can tell you, I have felt the Lord's arms around me. But I still needed to confess it. I still needed to say it. I needed to speak what it was. Everybody says, speak what you want the Lord to give you. You know, ask and you shall receive. Yes, I believe in it. Speak it. Be specific. Yes, but also when it comes to sin, be specific. Lord, this is what I did. He already knows it, but you need to say it. Lord, I was looking at And things I shouldn't have looked at. Lord, I said something I shouldn't have said. Lord, I've been so angry at my brother or my sister in the Lord, and I just get angry when I see their face, and it's sinful. I can't believe you get jealous of how God. Listen, some of you need to get rid of this jealousy stuff. Jealousy will tear you down. It will get you to be a bitter, bitter person. Be rejoiceful. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. When someone gets a new house, Radazovich is amazing. God bless you for that. You guys got your house fixed. Scott and Deb, great for you guys. That's a great blessing. Be happy. Be happy for people. But when someone goes through a loss, I know Larry and them went through a loss, mourn with them. And there are other people that have losses this year. But ask Jesus for help. So when we repent, it frees us from the guilt and our heart is cleansed. When we repent also, it restores the joy of your salvation. You begin to smile about Jesus things. You begin to smile about Bible things. You begin to smile about your relationship. You're happy about your relationship with the Lord. You know where it was before you when you were sinning, but you know where it is now. You have repented, and the joy of your salvation returns. That is awesome. That's an awesome feeling. I believe repentance also renews the inner spirit. There's a renewing. There's a renewing. It begins to grow again. It's not stagnant. It begins to grow again. Repentance also, we become humble. Humbleness is a good thing. We become humble. So I think as much as we give God thanks for today, I think also we need to be repenting from some things today. And as I read that scripture, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges. But maybe you are doing great. I also want to remind you that when we talk about repentance, we talk about prayer, we talk about those things of pleading to the Lord, which we see Job pleading for the Lord, to the Lord, about his children. I do that. I hope you do that. You plead. You're like Abraham talking to the Lord about, is there 10? Lord, be specific. Lord, be with my son, be with his family, be with my daughter, be with whoever it is. Pray for them. You just think of it as this. You may be the only person praying for them. Pray for them. And they may have grown up in a Christian home, but they're not living like a Christian. You keep praying for them. That they come to the place of repentance. At the crossroads of repentance, miracles happen. When you sin, it's almost like the blessings flow stops. Kind of the reap what you sow kind of kicks in. The consequences of sin. But when you repent, the water flows of blessings begin to flow again. That's my experience. That's what I read in Scripture. But also, sometimes we need to speak to the Lord and step in the gap for the church. Because the church also can sin. And let me remind you, sin is not always the thing that you do wrong by the sense of that you did it. Sometimes the act wrong is not that you've done something, it's that you didn't do something. Sometimes it's that you didn't do something. So we need to pray and ask the Lord for forgiveness and repent as a church. Also in our ministries, which are very messy, we need to do that as well. Because we can easily, it can be easy to get upset and be angry with a bunch of volunteers that are not a part of our church that do things even at the meal ministry or even things in one of our homes. Or even get upset at one of our functions when we're trying to raise money and personalities are conflicting and bouncing. That didn't happen this time, praise the Lord, it was good. But also, if we are the prayer warriors, we're also called to pray for the city. For the city. You pray for the city to be a repentance. Step in the gap for the city. But not just the city, our state and our country. Stepping in the gap. We're not praying against our leaders, but praying for our leaders. Praying for our country that we would come to a place where we'd come to that crossroads where our country would acknowledge the Lord and repent. But if they don't do it, I'm going to do it, and I've done it. And I'm going to keep doing it. Because I believe in Scripture. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The greatest power is not in Washington. It's not in Russia. It's not in China. It is in the church. It is the church. Why do you think Satan fights the church so much? If it ever raises its head as the kingdom of God and pray in unity and seek forgiveness first and repent, oh my goodness, what would happen? What would happen if this city repented? You're like, what would that look like? Go to the book of Jonah and you'll see. I love that God gives us so many examples. Nineveh repented. Fasting in ashes. And maybe today you need to repent. We thank God as a church today. But we also need to repent. And we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. And then when we're done with this altar call, we're going to do it together. Because you've got to admit, we have failed God at times. We have sinned before God. In our leadership, in our congregation, as a church in whole, in our ministries, we have sinned. And the altar is a place to pray, to seek God. God wants to hear our praises and our thanksgiving, and I believe He is pleased with that. But He also wants to render what's also in the heart of the dark things. So let's go ahead and stand. And your opportunity this morning...